Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. Again, as always, we'd like to say thank you to all of the people who've been following the podcast, who have engaged with me via Patreon, all of the wonderful supporters and the followers as well. You guys are important, too, over on Patreon. Everyone who's been sharing the podcast, whether it's with your friends or family, your social media circles, just taking the podcast and sending it to someone else does a huge service to the podcast in general. Rating it or commenting on the podcast wherever you're able to listen to it, whether it's on Audio Boom, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever it is that you're catching this podcast on, just giving it a little thumbs up if you like it. Super, super helpful. And I just want to say thanks a lot for all that. Man, what else to say? I mean, you guys know the deal. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. Write to me. Let me know what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, concerns. I don't know. My brain's a little fried right now. I'm a little out of it. So bear with me while I kind of fight through the first couple of minutes of this. Check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. Been playing a lot of Marvel Rivals lately. Been talking a lot of shit about Destiny 2. And I'm going to be going back into some more role-playing games. Some of the classic Final Fantasy games. Like the old school, like NES and Super NES classics. As well as probably taking a little detour back towards Final Fantasy 9. Because I never finished that. And I want to go back through like the numbered catalog in general. So stop on over to twitch.tv/linkib. And give me a wave and a holler. Told you guys, I'm a little fried. And let's do some gaming stuff. I'm going to be streaming a little bit later on today, which today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2025. And have we got a show for you today, I guess. See, I don't really plan the show out like I used to anymore. I take like ideas that pop into my head, jot them down in sticky notes, and then that's what I run with and just kind of let it flow in between. I used to actually script this whole thing out, so it sounded a little bit more, like I guess, metered and smooth, but I also found it just felt a little bit inorganic, probably is the best way to put it. Because, whatever the mood strikes me, I would jump the rails on the conversation, and then I'm like, oh, but I have to go back to the script, and it just felt dry. And I didn't really care for that. So that's why the format changed and it sounds so off the cuff. That's because for the most part, it really is, if I'm being quite honest. Also, I think because the colder weather has hit here in Northeast Florida, that's also sounded a little bit rough lately. And part of that is due to the fact that we're running our heater a lot more than we usually do. And that dries the air out. So like throat's really dry, sinuses are dry. I woke up this morning to grab a shower, and of course, the hot, moist air starts to hit your sinuses and reactivates everything. And I coughed and then sneezed. That was what it was. I coughed, I'm like, hot, hot, hot. Then I sneezed, and it was just like, oh, I'm bleeding. That was terrifying. At first, I'm like, I'm going to the hospital. I'm like, nope, it's just your sinuses. I was like, I smelled copper earlier. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, my sinuses are dried out, so the hot water, like the steam from the shower, is actually helping my body. So to that point, I went and I had cleaned out my humidifiers in the house yesterday, but I didn't run them long enough. And so I went to bed and like everything just kind of like dried up on me. And so I'm like, yep, you know what? I'm going to run them bad boys today. And they're both running and kicking. So if you hear like a little like minor whooshing sound in the background, that's the humidifier making sure I don't choke to death on the air in here. But yeah. So thank you guys again, like I said, very much, very, 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 very much, very, very much. And I'm enjoying the podcast. Doing it every week is a huge thing I look forward to. And just one of the coolest things that I mean, and creatively that I get to do is putting the podcast together. And there are some changes and some, little bits and bobs that I want to add to it to kind of embellish the podcast experience for you guys, as well as to give you a little bit more production value and a little bit more value overall. I'm working on implementing some sounds, possibly either creating a theme song or some theme music, or just, licensing somebody to create something for me that fits the vibe of the podcast for intros and outros, putting in some drops, things like that, so I can like, hey, instead of having to read this content block every time, hey, at the beginning of this, you're gonna get a little intro drop and an outro drop, maybe something in the middle. And the other thing is guests. I don't necessarily like doing guests. You guys probably remember the shenanigans I had with my last podcast and why I felt like, a cast. Well, it's not even I don't like having guests. Having a cast was always an issue because you got to deal with other people's schedules and, we need you guys to be here on this day because we're supposed to do this and then, oh, I can't do that and blah, 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 or this is happening and, people canceling last minute or just not showing up or not calling or responding until like the fucking next day or when you're halfway through recording. That shit got old real fast. And so I don't really deal with the cast, but a guest can be a huge benefit to a podcast. It adds a little bit of diversity to the normal just listening to one or two people talk over, topics or whatever, but it also offers a different perspective than you're normally used to getting from your host. And it gives the host themselves actually an opportunity to like flex their creative muscles, challenges their intellect and their ability to speak and carry on conversations in a rational, reasonable, and respectable way. And I wanted to say that I'm excited for the opportunity to have a guest on this show at some point. That's to say that I was emailing, like I said before, Brian Simpson, comedian, podcaster, and just all around cool dude. As we mentioned a while back, he shouted out the Wondering One podcast on his podcast, which is called BS with Brian Simpson. You should go check him out on any platform you can find him on. Also, check out his Netflix special, Live from the Mothership. Again, just a hilarious guy, interesting and unique perspectives, kind of turns you on your own ear for what you might expect to come out of his mouth. And I've found it really refreshing. I love his podcast too, and his perspectives on a lot of things I find to be quite refreshing and also pretty easy to agree with. There's a lot of logic that's behind the humor, and that's what makes it even more funny because you really get to look at how your own preconceived notions on a particular situation kind of skew your perspective, and you go, oh yeah, I never really looked at it that way. But anyway, he, like I said, good comedian, I'm a great comedian, actually, great podcaster, and did me a solid by shouting out the One on One podcast a couple dozen episodes back. And then recently I wrote into the show and he read the email on his show, which, if I remember correctly, it's episode 127. Let me double check that real quick. Yep, that's right. Episode 127, New Year, Same BS with Brian Simpson. He read the question, gave it a little quick banter and some quick answers and whatnot. And I think because I try to lead with gaming to kind of steer people away from, thinking like, oh, this is just, I mean, it's kind of weird because I don't want people to just assume that it's just any one type of podcast that I'm trying to put on here. But I find the gaming angle is a little bit more relatable to a lot of people. So I approached him from the gaming angle and was just talking shop about, what games are you interested in? Did you see the Game Awards, which he hadn't been familiar with, which is no big deal. Even a lot of gamers I know weren't really familiar with the Game Awards. And then he said at one point he said, he said, maybe I'll be a guest on your podcast one day. I'm like, dude. Open invitation, man. Like, as far as guests, like, that would be amazing to have Brian Simpson on the podcast. What do you guys think about that? Would you like to hear like some guests come on the show? And if we're able to, if we're able to somehow make that work out, if Brian is willing to sit down and talk with your boy, like, what do you think the format should be? Should it be kind of like this, just spitballing off topics and talking about games and life and weird stuff, answering emails? This is one of the other reasons why I've been asking, pressing you guys to send in emails, because I have the opportunity sometimes to schedule people. And I've reached out to a couple people over the last year about seeing when I can get them into a seat or into like, a Discord chat or something like that. and get a chance to record. But it would be nice to have some input from the community to know what you want. If you, hey, if somebody's going to be a guest on the show, would you, you know, would you do this kind of question, this kind of thing? So, yeah, I mean, if Mr. Simpson is willing and we're able to put it together somehow, I'd love to have him on the show. And yeah, I'd like to hear your questions. So go ahead, hit the Patreon right in. Like I said, it's free to follow. You don't have to be subscribed to Patreon to write in. It's just easy for me to catch the emails there so I don't miss anybody. All right. So yeah, cool news. And again, go and check out Brian Simpson's podcast, BS with Brian Simpson, and check out his Netflix special, Live from the Mothership. I'm pretty sure you guys are going to love it. If you've listened to this show and you like it, you're probably going to love that too. I have faith. So yeah, what has been going on the last week? What fucking hasn't been going on, man? Like, this past week has been absolutely insane. You have to, forgive me if I sound a little raspy or whatever. I'm still trying to get all the moisture back in my body. I just feel like I was just dried out. You know what I mean? I felt like it was hanging in like a tanning chamber for a piece of leather or some shit. It's like throat's fucking like sandpaper. But yeah, let's do some boring news stuff first. And then we'll go to some fun stuff, I guess. Because there's a bunch of topics I was thinking about, you know. Anybody else notice there's a bunch of planes have been crashing a lot? Like, planes been falling out of the sky forever, you know what I mean? But especially over the last, like, year or so, I mean, one of the first incidents was, like, the door getting sucked off that Delta flight or whatever it was. And then over the last, like, week or so, there was a crash in Southern California where a plane crashed into the roof of a furniture manufacturer, leaving 2 dead and 14 injured. Just wow. You know, and then not too long, like around that same time, a plane crashed in South Korea, leaving 179 people dead, and only 2 people survived, and they were crew members. I think that the crew were in like the rear seats of the plane, and for some reason, they were the only 2 people on the entire plane that lived. So there's 181 people on the plane. Everybody died except these 2, which is wild, just unbelievable. And then a little closer to home, I guess, a small, you know, passenger plane in Naples, Florida, crashed into the hangar. There's a family of 4 on board. Father was piloting with his wife and 2 kids. And the plane, I guess, lost control when it was coming onto the runway and just skittered off the runway and landed and slammed into a hangar. But they all survived. But, you know, I hear all that bullshit and everybody's like, oh, no, you can't be afraid of flying. Flying's the safest mode of transportation there is. Statistically speaking, I'm like, yeah, because flying is like what? You know what I mean? Flying is less than like 100 years old. Cars have been around for longer. Horse and buggies have been around. Trains have been around for longer. So, of course, they're not going to be deemed as safe over time. There's more time for them to fuck up. And the other thing a lot of people don't pay attention to and don't really know about, and this is one of the things, like, I try to listen to this podcast to help me get over a fear of flying. It's called Black Box Down. It was a stupid move because all they did was talk about plane crashes and what went wrong. But then they would talk about, because all this stuff went wrong, this is what they're doing to correct it. Come to find out a couple things. One thing they don't really do is highly detailed inspections on planes. Now, they do inspections. They do check them over. They do maintenance on them. But over time, the average passenger plane that you're going to be flying on, like an airline like Delta, American, United, whatever, it's generally speaking, I think the average age of those planes is like 10 years. So this thing's been beaten up by the elements, you know, been pushed to hundreds of miles an hour, flying, carrying all these people and cargo and fuel and itself through the sky. It's just a battle against gravity and God. And sometimes they don't really do a whole lot of extra stuff to, you know, reinforce things, you know, shore things up. Sometimes maintenance logs get lost. I would listen to that podcast and be like, yo, sometimes entire maintenance logs on a vehicle, on an airplane, would just be gone. And they'd be like, what happened to him? That was the answer. The answer was, And then, you know, like I said, some of these planes can be like upwards of 10 years old. So you're flying in this rickety rust bucket. If you ever get a chance and you ever want to just freak yourself the fuck out and only travel like Amtrak or drive everywhere you go, go and when you're at an airport, go and try to get as close to the plane as you can through the windows and just look along the wing and look at all the rusty spots where all the screws and shit are. That will set you on edge. Dude, you'll start walking to wherever you're going. And especially, like I said, if these planes just falling out of fucking sky lately. I'm like, nah, dog. One of my dream trips over the last few years, because I haven't been to a convention in a while. I've gone to a couple smaller local things that aren't technically not conventions. But I wanted to go back to TwitchCon when it was in Las Vegas. And that was because I have a friend that lives in Vegas. I thought, yo, if I go to TwitchCon, I can come down, I can visit you and go and check out the convention, two birds, one stone. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, you know, if I do this, I'd have to travel by plane, right? Nah. I'm like, I'm not doing that. If I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna go by train. So I started looking up because I like I said, I don't like flying. Flying irks me. Just like I said, just the entire concept of flying, it sounds cool. You know what I mean? And then maybe if I was gonna be able to fly like an F-22, something that I know that, you know, the military is putting money behind, so I know that's top of the line shit, I'd be all right. But a lot of these planes, like I said, they'd just be old. And so I'm like, nah, son, I'm not for that. And trains, I know trains are gonna be old and stuff too. I mean, it's not like they're upgrading them every, you know, 2 years or anything like that, but just the average wear and tear, you know, fighting the forces of gravity up and down. Both ways and stay up? No, it's just gonna be on a track. It's not doing any jumps or shit like that. But I checked and it was like, yo, you can take a train from, you know, Northeast Florida, Jacksonville to Las Vegas. And it'll take about, you know, I think it said it was like 36 hours. So just about 2 days. So it'd be like a 2 day trip out there. And I'm like, yo, if that's the case, I don't have shit to do it between here and here. I would just leave 2 days before the thing's supposed to start. You know what I mean? And I would get in like just about a half a day early. So then I could be like, hey, I'm gonna go meet my friend. We'll hang out for a little while. I'll get to the hotel and then I'll get some sleep. Then the next day, I'll go and hit the convention floor. Then I have 3 full days at the convention before I have to bounce. And then I would just take a 2 day train ride back home. And for me, because I think like the experience of traveling on trains, there's like a romantic element to it, you know, like it's very reminiscent of maybe like a singer-songwriter's journey or like an old classic American literature, you know, early American literature, traveling around the country to kind of like find oneself. You know, it's a very like, I don't know how to put it without getting too cliche, I guess. There's a very Jack Kerouac, Hunter S. Thompson kind of feel to being on a train that I don't think any other kind of transportation really replicates unless you're like in a panel van riding around, you know, doing shows with your homies or whatever, you know, as a rock band or something. And yeah, you know, I would much rather do that any day of the week than get on a plane. Planes bother me, man. Like, and here's the thing, I like the fact that they exist. I understand people are cool with them. It just don't work for me. I don't like planes. I would take a train any day as long if it's possible. I'd even take a boat. You know what I mean? I'll take a boat before I take a plane if I had to get if I, it was the option. I mean, hey man, like you can go here by plane, or you can take a boat and get there like in a week. I'm like, I'll take the week. You know? It's I don't know. Maybe I'm bugging, man. Maybe I'm bugging, but I just don't like, I don't care for planes. I don't. Anyway, weird stuff all over, like I said, all the way around the world. Like I said, I noticed the planes crashing. And then, of course, you know, you got the whole thing with Trump because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? He's always going to say or do something weird. He had this bizarre ass, I guess, press conference yesterday. And you could just kind of see the brain sliding out of his ears, you know, ranting about windmills again, because, you know, we haven't heard that same old song and dance before. talking about buying Greenland and the, you know, the Panama Canal and or taking them by force. Like, he's like, I'm not going to rule it out that we could do. Like, bitch, what is you talking about? The American people that voted for you, let's put it that way. The ones who voted for you were voting for you to, like, you know, lower their taxes and to bring the cost of consumer goods down, you know, protect the border. And here you are talking about, we're going to go to war to take Greenland and the Panama Canal. The fuck is wrong with this fool? One, I don't think he knows where the Panama Canal is. I think he thinks it's like the Rio Grande. But I don't know if he knows that he would actually have to wage either a land war where they have to march through all the countries he's talking shit about at the southern border, or they'd have to launch a naval assault and they would have to actually land troops to try to take over the Panama Canal. I'm like, bro, this... Somebody come get their grandpa, man. This dude is tripping for real. So he's seriously on that shit. And he's so out of control with the stuff that he says and the way that he approaches every situation. Here he is, about to be inaugurated to be the president. He won. Congratulations, you orange bastard. You did it again. And yeah, he's bitch moaning and complaining about, like, everybody not liking him. What did you say? Special counsel Jack Smith was supposed to release some reports. And he's like, was it him or somebody he was talking about? He's like, yeah, he looks weird in his purple robe. I guess it was a robe that he wore when he was working as a prosecutor for The Hague. Like an international collection, a commission of prosecutors. He is making fun of the dude's outfit. Like, he's like, he's wearing a purple robe. It's weird. And he'll execute anybody. No, he won't. No, he won't, you buffoon. Like... That's not the power that he has. He doesn't understand that he's in the executive branch. And this dude is he's in the judicial branch. He's a lawyer, basically. He's a pencil pusher. He ain't cut no heads off nobody. So anyway, like I said, I always knew he was a basket case. I knew that the elevator didn't quite go to the top floor of Trump Tower, if you know what I mean. But yeah, in light of the craziness that's happened over the past week, like I said, this... podcast, the last episode came out on, I think it was the day of or the day before the horrible attack in New Orleans, where a man drove a truck through Bourbon Street, I believe it was, and ran over and shot a bunch of people. And just the fucked up thing about that, aside from the horrific, you know, action itself, is how everybody has their own spin, right? Every media outlet generally has its own spin. If you listen to mine, you could tell mine's a little bit more center to left. Although, you know, there's some issues that I'm fairly conservative about, like gun control and shit like that. But it's like, you know, policy issues, not people issues, right? You know, what should we do to solve X problem, not who should we do it to? You feel what I'm saying? So, yeah, but I listen to, like, any right-wing media outlet, and especially, like, the right-wing politicians, some of these dope-ass, you know, like these dopey-ass motherfuckers like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Obviously, you're going to hear the shit talk come from her. Any other, you know, punditry on the right. So, like, Steve Bannon is definitely going to be one of them. Tucker Carlson, Jesse Waters, just the whole Fox News crew in general. Anybody on Truth Social or whatever the fuck he's calling his fake Twitter network. Was it One America News is another one. There's, like, a couple of those outlets out there. You know which ones they are. But they put this slant on it on an event like this in an attempt to paint a scary picture so everybody goes, oh, clutching their pearls and pulling their you know, shawls over their shoulders around their neck. Like, whatever are we going to do? We're going to be fine. And, you know, well, there's a crisis at the southern border is where these guys came from. Marjorie Taylor Greene was one of the biggest ones to run her big fat ass mouth about it. And, you know, trying to say, like, yo, this is what's wrong with the border security, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The shooter in New Orleans was actually a U.S. Army veteran from Fort Bragg. He's a U.S. citizen, too. And he either changed the name or his name was originally, you know, very Muslim sounding, as they were saying. But yeah, like he ended up being radicalized by ISIS. And he just went kind of a little off the rails there, man, and a lot off the rails, and then hurt and killed a lot of people before he was ultimately gunned down by police. But yeah, the spin that they put on it, man, like Trump saying on his Truth Socials, like the New Orleans shooters because of security flaws at the border, that was false. But for some reason, these dummies over there pulling 11,400 in what they call retruths, which is basically like a retweet. And then 45,200 likes. And he was lying about the shit the whole time. And even after it was found out that that shooter was actually an American and he was part of the United States military, he goes on Truth Social like, I was right about everything. Because of course, you know what I mean? Part of, I think people like, how can he lie like that? And how can people, you know, keep eating it up? I think what people fail to realize, it's one of those things like that comes to you with age and experience. In order for people to continue to perpetuate a lie, you have to make sure that you believe in it. Like, in order for him to continue to spin this kind of shit and talk this kind of shit and other people to keep ingesting it and believing it, it means they have to commit to it. You know, no matter what it is, no matter how stupid it is, no matter how outlandish it gets, no matter how wild it gets, until there's an actual real world consequence for their stupidity and their blind faith and allegiance, they're going to keep sticking to it. You've seen it in some of the people who got arrested behind the whole bullshit that went on in the January 6th insurrection event, you know, back in 2020. And you're like, well, we're 2021, actually. We all saw that, though. We all saw that taking place. And we watched the people who went there and they were like, we got sold a bill of goods, man. You know, why did we put all our time and effort into this? Only to find out that we ain't get no backup from this dude anyway. Well, yeah, idiot. So the people who are still believing, they just haven't had any ramifications really hit them. You're starting to see it in their personal lives, you know what I mean? We're like, oh, my family won't invite me over for the holidays. Good, fuck you. You know what I mean? You might have somebody in there you're in their orbit and you have somebody in their orbit that, you know, your support of this dangerous and moronic person can actively put them, their life and their livelihood at risk. I was actually listening to my wife. We were talking about it last night, and there's a new thing that's been going around in Colorado. Some of you might remember this from about a year or so ago. Maybe it was a little bit less than that. It was back in like early summer. There was a text message that was going around in certain areas, especially around, like, it's oddly enough, historically black colleges and universities, which leads me to believe that it was a student on that campus or nearby that was finding black students and sending them text messages, students and administrators and, you know, people in the neighborhood, sending text messages saying that you were supposed to report for slave duty. And they were going to have their executive slaves pick you up in a brown van, right? Well, the same kind of tactic has been employed recently in Oregon, where a group that is, again, anonymous, because why would you say it with your full chest, right? You know you're not espousing a popular point of view when you have to hide behind anonymity, you know what I mean? You know what you're doing is fucked up when you can't stand up and say it out loud, you know what I mean? You know, standing behind a mask. That's why you see those videos of the terrorists and they got the masks on and shit like that before they cut somebody's head off. Because they know what they're doing is not cool. They know what they're doing is not socially acceptable. It's not smiled upon. You know what I mean? It's not part of the collective consciousness as being a righteous position to take. So that's why they hide themselves. That's why they disguise themselves. Because they don't have the confidence behind their conviction. So what these cowards have done is they've been mailing people and they've been saying like, basically, they're saying that the state of Oregon is like a sanctuary state, and this particular area is like a sanctuary city. So if somebody's trying to leave a state where immigration is cracking down on them, they'll come to this place so they can kind of have amnesty. So what the community was saying in this particular section, let me not label the entire community, this little subsection of idiots and racists was basically saying, we're going to ask you to report people, brown people, which is the wording. I swear to God, this is true. We're report brown people that you believe to be illegal. So they could just say anybody, Ted from work, he's brown. I don't know. Let's report him to the Department of Homeland Security and fuck his life up. Word. And then when they were doing so, they were saying, like, if we can get rid of these people, you know, we can take over their homes, the places they live in, and that opens up more housing for decent for white folks, which is also in the actual wording of the letter. I didn't make that up. They said that it opens up homes and housing opportunities for white folks. So another commentator I listened to, like some independent media, is named Reese Waters. Cool dude. I was basically like, yo, so he's like, I'm not, you know, illegal immigrant in quotes, brown. I'm, you know, slave successor brown. Like, so I couldn't even, you're going to get these homes for just the white people? Like, I can't even bid on this? He's like, not that I would want to, but this is a way to let you know that what their goal is not about Americans. It's not about protecting America. It's about protecting white superiority. They don't want us to have any of what they can take. And they assume, because of, you know, the wording and the lettering and the phraseology behind this, that they're the only true native peoples of this land. And that kind of rhetoric speaks real loud, man. It speaks real loud. And again, it's being fueled by these fucking idiots who are supposed to be in positions of power as elected officials who could very easily do something to actually build community and could engender a lot more goodwill and could really make a mark on the nation and as a part of their legacy by embracing community and togetherness. And, you know, hey, we want to have illegal immigration in the coolest thing for our country. But if we can find a valid path to citizenship, and maybe we can find a way to incentivize companies, corporations, and other industries to provide more job opportunities, provide a more even base wage, you know what I mean? Even if we're not going to do a universal basic income, let's work on making sure that a general, not even a minimum wage, just an average, steady living wage, you know? This is the living wage that we are paying in this industry. You know, some people may go a little bit higher, but no one's going any lower. So it's kind of like you could have a minimum wage if you really wanted to, because, you know, why not? It's better than saying, like, the bottom can be as low as zero, baby. But being able to say, like, hey, we got a minimum wage, but we also have a living wage. If you pay a living wage as a corporation, what we're going to do is we're going to offer a tax incentive to those corporations. Say, like, hey, you pay X amount in taxes, but you also, on average, pay this living wage that's at this level. So every year in taxes, we're going to cut you a break at the end of the fiscal quarter. That'll give you a little bit of a cushion. So, you know, hey, I might be pushing to make sure my employees live great, but my employees are happy. They can pay their bills. They don't have to worry about healthcare. You know, we offer these kinds of incentives. And then the government turns around and says, you know what? Good job. It's the parable of the talents, right? If you never read the Bible, it's a real short thing. I'll spin it to you in just a second. But if you, to whom much is given, much is expected, right? And then I think that if you did that and incentivized it, so, because you're only hitting them in their wallets, right? You show them that, you know, I'll make your wallet fat if you do the right thing. People, let's say it this way, corporations as a whole rarely do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. They do the right thing because it makes money, okay? So if you make it so that if it makes dollars, it will make sense to them. Say, hey, you know what makes sense is to treat people fairly, equitably, and make sure that they live well so they work well. That makes you more money. And then on the back end, we as the government go, that's really cool that you've done that. Here's a little bit of your money back in taxes. So you don't have to pay this much this year and this, that, and the other. And you could continue to pay these workers to continue to build industry and make it work. And the parable of talents is basically this. So there's like I forget the actual role this dude had, but he's a boss, right? he's a businessman and he's leaving and he's got like, we'll call them shares. Just call it talents, but you know, we'll call them shares. He's got like, you know, shares that he's going to have the people that work for him invest for him while he's away. And it starts out as like 10, 5, and 1. We'll say it's like, you know, 10 million, 5 million, and 1 million. He's like, I'm going to give you guys each this much money. I'm going to be gone for a while. I want you to see what you could do with this money to make more money. And I got you on the back end. So the dude who gets 10 million goes out. And again, I'm changing it to modern day parlance, right? So he takes the 10 million, he goes out, he doubles that money. He comes back with 20 million. The dude has 5. He goes and he goes, hey man, I got 5 million. Let me go and hustle up. He goes out and doubles that. He gets 10. Good on him. The dude who has 1 million is like, I don't know, man. I'm not going to really do a lot with this. I'm just going to go ahead and tuck it away in the savings account. It'll be cool. When I come back, I got it for him. So when the dude comes back, he's like, so what you got for me? You know, what's up? What'd y'all do? How'd it work out? And they start pulling up the receipts. You know what I mean? They get them bank statements out, basically. And so the dude who got the 10 said, hey, look, give me 10. I went out and invested that joint. I got you 20. He's like, all right, man, that's a good and faithful servant. Same thing with the dude who got 5. He's like, I have 5. I got 10 on it right now. He's like, all right, well done. And the dude who had 1, he's like, you gave me 1. And I was just like, eh, there you go. He's like, you lazy bastard. Essentially, that's where it goes. So you lazy bastard, get the fuck out of here. And the other 2, y'all can come and hang with me. I got this whole big feast that I planned out for you. It's like a celebration for me coming back. Y'all are welcome. VIP access. This motherfucker's not invited. In fact, get the fuck out of here. Again, that's not written in the Bible like that. It would probably be cool if it was. I think how many more people would actually read the Bible if it sounded like a regular dude from the street talking to him. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Really what it comes down to is if you make it make sense for people, if you make it make dollars for people, it makes sense. And so the same kind of logic applies to corporations. You don't have to worry about all these people crying and whining about jobs and stuff like that if the people are given a reason, like the people who run the corporations and, you know, farms and all that jazz, are given a reason to keep jobs here and a reason to be like, I can invest in America because America invests in me. Anyway, that's a big policy thing. But yeah, so we talked about the whole Truth Social thing, the New Orleans bombing. The other one was the guy whose Tesla blew up in front of Trump Tower, which I thought was like a weird sense of poetry to that. It wasn't lost on me. I heard pundits talk about it later. It was like, there's some kind of interesting analogy here between a vehicle from the company of one of the richest men in the world who's now allied himself with Trump blowing up in front of one of Trump's international hotels in Las Vegas, you know, just weeks before the inauguration, kind of says all we need to know about the future of America. And I'm like, yeah, it does. There's more information that's come out about this dude since the incident first hit. Again, another U.S. Army soldier, also stationed in Fort Bragg. It is not known if the shooter from the New Orleans incident had any connection with this individual in Las Vegas. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing to look at, right? We say we care about veterans and their mental health and well-being. Meanwhile, you got one dude who's become radicalized by a terrorist group. And then the other one whose mental health has gone so far in the toilet that, you know, behind all these issues that he had with, I think it was his ex-wife or his separated from wife and family, he just kind of goes off the grid and then is in front of Trump Tower, Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas with hundreds of rounds of ammunition, you know, homemade explosives and shit like that. Like, and it blows his own brains out and then blows up, the car blows up. Nobody was killed, but several people were injured. It just so happened that, like, you know, there's like some kind of anomalous shift change or some kind of lull in the normal hours of traffic, and he just happened to be there during that time when people weren't really around, and that saved a lot of lives because of that moment. But yeah, the one thing that was really gross was the Las Vegas sheriff, a guy who goes by the name of Kevin McMahill, credits Elon Musk and the Cybertruck's design with the lessened damage and additional information provided by Elon Musk himself helped us understand what happened and how so few people were hurt and injured. get the fuck out of my face with this shit. This is one of those things where, like, it's one of the things that bugs me about Florida is that almost every, well, cops in general don't vote Democrat, and they don't, you tend to run Democrat, but almost every sheriff to a person in a red state just can't stop bootlicking. It's so gross. Like, we had this dude, oh my God, bro, okay, hold on. I had to take a breath because few things frustrate me as much as minority folk of any stripe who are so Republican or so ultra conservative, and particularly MAGA conservatives. If I see somebody who's like, I'm a, you know, black or Latino MAGA, I'm like, ah, oh, come on, son. But this dude, without saying it out loud, I mean, he's so pro Trump and it bothers me that he's even black. You know what I mean? His name's TK Waters. Dude's a bootlicker extraordinaire. I can't stand the dude. I'll tell him that shit to his face. Because here's the other thing about me, too. It's funny. I heard Brian Simpson talk about this on that podcast I was listening to. This is the most recent episode, by the way. He's like, some people ain't built like that. You know what I mean? People talk shit, and then they can't back it up. It's like, that's the difference between me and a lot of people, though. Is I am. Y'all, anybody who's known me, been around me, lived with me in particular over the last like couple decades knows I was a bouncer for a long time, worked security, and been in more than a handful of, you know, fist fights, bar fights, shit like that. I am that nigga. So I will, if somebody's like, yo, I'm gonna run up on you. I'm like, this is your day then. Let's find out what it's like. Let's get at it. Cause I'm not afraid of you. You know what I mean? I don't have to be afraid of nobody. But yeah, so like, I hate this motherfucker. And he's like, this Vegas sheriff is the same kind of thing. They're always up the Republican Party's ass, and it's done nothing for them. And you can see a lot of military people are that way too. And the military, the United States government isn't doing shit for them. I'm not saying the Democratic Party is the answer at all either, by the way. I stopped voting Democrat, probably about maybe 15 years ago. Easy. When I started realizing that I had always known the two-party system didn't work, but I also realized that Democratic ideology and also the Democratic approach to how they interact with their constituency and how they shape policy doesn't fit and it doesn't work. It always loses. Anytime they win, they only stay around for like just long enough as people are okay. You know what I mean? If they don't rock the boat too much, they don't push too much policy that creates enough waves, as long as they keep things at like a median level of chill, they can stick around. But as soon as they start to push for any more progressive policies that, you know, expand past the small, you know, mental midgetry of some of these conservative knuckleheads, that's when they get the pushback. That's when they lose the seats. That's when you have a Republican majority in the House and Senate, in the Congress and the Senate, I mean. And then, then you get Donald Trump again. They lose so much, but they're always wanting to be like on the right side of history. And sorry, I had to zip my hoodie up real quick. And they always want to be perceived as the doing the right thing and being the nice people. And sometimes you got to punch a motherfucker in the face, man. I hate to say it like that because people want, you know, peace, love, and understanding, and so do I. But I also understand that sometimes the price of peace means that somebody has to be the one to swing the sword, right? You got to, you know, Ned Stark rules, man. If you're going to cast a sentence, you should swing the sword. I think every now and again, we'd be like, we want to do this. We want to have that because we're progressive and we're liberal. But sometimes, damn it, you have to slap somebody down and tell them no, tell them that they're wrong. Not every position is valid. You know what I mean? Not every emotion. Fuck your feelings, dude. Sometimes things are just right or wrong. Sometimes things are black or white. That's not a wrong thing to say. Your inability to comprehend something does not make it not true. You feel me? I'm going to point out this in a little bit. You know, I mean, there's another topic I want to talk about. But, you know, just because you don't understand why something is or should be, you know what I mean, doesn't mean that it's not correct. You know, I mean, The only way I can think of it is somebody could be like, hey, man, you know, I like it when somebody sucks my toes when I'm making love. And I'm like, that's, I can't understand that. That, no, no, you can't like that. That's a stupid position for me to have just because I don't understand how your neurological pathways work. I'm supposed to tell you that you're wrong. Your truth doesn't require my comprehension. And by the same virtue, in order for something to be true, doesn't mean that everybody has to understand it. So I don't know where these people get off with this shit, but they definitely don't think past, you know, like, hey, maybe if the truck was built better, you know, this shit wouldn't have blown up. Nah, probably would have bombed. But anyway, just the idea of crediting him with the design and the Cybertruck with the manufacturer. These trucks have been blowing up for a while. And one of the funnier things was like, hey, somebody's like, you never know. Like, it's funny that when like a Cybertruck blows up, you don't know if it was actually a terrorist attack or, you know, a weapons malfunction or something like that, or if it was just the truck just doing its thing. And that's pretty sad when you're known now as like the guy whose trucks just blow the fuck up. Maybe I won't drive anywhere. Maybe I'll just take trains from everywhere I need to go from now on. I'm definitely not taking no Tesla. I rode in a Tesla one time. The shit feels like I'm riding inside of a cardboard box. It's not comfortable. The design is not sleek. It's just very sterile. I don't know, man. Yeah, you know what? It was like driving inside a cardboard box that was made to hold fucking gauze pads. It felt like a clinic. It didn't feel like a vehicle. You know, there was no life to it. Anyway, that was a lot. And that went all over the place too, so I apologize for that. That was just peculiar. I need a glass. I need a sip of water real quick. I wasn't about to hit pause again. All right. Let's see. Some goofy shit. Oh, we're still kind of like, we're going to ease out of the whole like political talk. But anybody see WWE Raw on Netflix? All right. So I think I may have mentioned this before when I found out that like after the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, quote, fight, end quote, I was like, Netflix is getting into more shit. So they took over the Christmas Day football games on Netflix, which I was like, I was waiting for them to drop out. I don't think we even watched it, to be quite honest. And if we did have it on, we only had it on just long enough to know that it was there. But I don't think anybody gave a shit for the Christmas football games. They're just kind of like, all right, whatever, bro. But then they had WWE Raw on Monday as their first live event from Netflix. And I don't really watch wrestling. Not that I hate it. You know, I used to when I was younger, especially when I was a kid. You know, back in the like mid-80s, late 80s, in the heyday of the WWF, as it was back then. The World Wrestling Federation. You know, Mean Gene Okerlund, that kind of shit, man. Like, I remember all the classics. You know, the Ultimate Warrior, Andre the Giant, Macho Man Randy Savage, Bret the Hitman Hart, and then, of course, Hulk Hogan. And I say all that to say, like, when Hulk Hogan showed his Trump-loving ass up to WWE Raw on Monday night, the boos he got were just, mwah. Oh, chef's kiss. It was so good. Because here's the thing. I don't really give a shit about what your political affiliations are if you can present me with solid logical reasoning for why you feel the way you feel. You know, maybe you do have a point that you want to elocute on why border security is going to work out better underneath the Trump administration or a conservative administration of any kind. All right, I'll listen to that and I can respect and appreciate that. Maybe you have an argument. I don't know which one it could possibly be, but maybe you have an argument for why abortion should not be legal for anyone to have. And if you have a logical enough argument that I can listen to and be like, all right, I may not agree with your position, but I can at least understand how you came to that conclusion logically. But this is an illogical human being, Hulk Hogan. And it was just hilarious to watch him just kind of get called to the carpet. And he's out there trying to push his real American beer, whatever the fuck he's calling it. And they booed him until he left the stage. I was just like, bro, imagine going from one of the most beloved and iconic American entertainment personalities of all time to becoming one of the most reviled, you know, just within the span of your lifetime. He's not even wrestling anymore. They just hate this motherfucker because he's all about Trump. I'll never forget when he was at that stupid ass rally with all them other bigots and he was trying to tear his own shirt and, like, you know, he was struggling so hard. I'm like, oh, that's a bit that you should have prepared for, my guy. That was just so weak. I'm sorry, man. It was just funny to watch him get booed off stage. And I know a lot of people who are friends of mine or fans of wrestling were watching it and they're just like, ah. Yeah, you had that one coming, Terry. Oh my god. Yeah, funny stuff, man. It's all over the place though. What was the other thing? I think I mentioned it earlier. When I was talking to a friend of mine off the podcast, obviously. But yeah, Mark Zuckerberg got on TV looking like a Justin Timberlake stand-in from 2002. The curly hair and a black t-shirt and a gold chain. Somebody said he looked like a Slovenian Molly dealer. Anyway, this clown got on there and was like, Meta is going to be pulling back. We're going to be pulling back on, what was he saying? The fact checking. And pulling back on fact-checking and going more towards community notes, similar to X. I was like, what? And then he also cited that he was trying to work alongside Donald Trump, because I guess he hasn't got enough tech bro love yet, work alongside Donald Trump to open more access to information with fewer limitations and bars to entry. And yeah, this just wait. This is going to be bad. This is going to backfire real bad. One of my favorite things was The Onion posted an article that said Mark Zuckerberg, a recipient of world's first rat penis transplant, has declared that he'll be taking down Facebook fact checking. And I was like, dude, The Onion just doesn't miss. I just gotta love The Onion. This is a great, just satirist news site. And I say news loosely because all they do is basically make fun of everything. But yeah, satirical news-related comedy is one. It's, nobody does it like The Onion. Another thing, Apple's in lawsuit and lawsuits actually. They're in a lawsuit for $95 million over privacy violations that are brought on by their own little digital assistant Siri snooping on people. And I've been saying this for years. You know what I mean? Like, you could say turn your microphone and all that shit off on your devices. It don't work. I mean, it do, but it don't. Because all it takes is one app to be open and the microphone enabled for that shit. And they're like, you want us to use this while the app is running? You want it always on or you want it off? You know what I mean? And it's like, sure, just while the app is running, they're like, woohoo, we swear. No. And we know this because we've been in the house and been like, you know, just talk about something and mentioned Siri because, you know, somebody's got an iPhone or whatever, and it goes, beep, beep, and you're like, uh-huh. Or if you're in some place and you say, hey, Alexa, and it'll doo-doo, and it starts talking to you and shit. I'm like, I told you, it's listening. It's listening. I hate it, and I hate it so much. And thankfully my wife has a door where she can close her door, and it can't hear as well because it's, you know, the sound is dampened. But before then, I would just go in and unplug her shit. I would straight unplug it because I don't like it. I don't trust it. It's bad enough that my phone's basically a low jack and also a recording device. This thing is actively listening the whole time because it has to be listening in case you call for it. So it's always on. But now, you know, Apple's getting banged over the head with this shit because, you know, the Siri, I don't know, the Siri digital assistant is basically listening and trolling on everything that they're talking about and everything they're saying. So then they're starting to see, like you say, hey, I was talking about this thing and then it showed up in my Facebook feed or it showed up on, you know, Instagram or Pinterest or whatever. I'm like, I know, because it's always listening, dude. I want smart this and, you know, I want easy access to that and blah, blah, blah. Do you? Do you? For your devices to be listening to you 24/7. Having access to all your conversations, all your information, all your private moments, any random thoughts you might have. Who knows what you could say just in the heat of the moment. God only knows the stuff I've said, just joking, just bullshitting, just drinking with the homies, just talking shit. We could be playing a game of Cards Against Humanity. You read off a card, everybody laughs a little too hard, and next thing you know, there's a black van in front of your house. Now, that might be some high-level conspiracy theory shit, but it's not too far out of the realm of possibility. To say that that's impossible is to be completely short-sighted and blind, basically. Not even short-sighted. Just blind and borderline mentally damaged to not assume that that's a thing that could happen. Anybody ever watch Minority Report? They come up with this idea that they can pre-crime shit so they can arrest you before you do anything bad. There's also another show that's similar to that, an anime called Psychopass. And if you've never seen it, I would say try to find it on hard physical media as opposed to trying to rent it digitally because, you know, digital media is the devil. But yeah, check it out. Some similar concepts, though, but like, you know, the things you think, you say, you know, that you blah, 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 you could posit a theory or whatever, and they're like, he's going to do it, and then just lock you up. Nah. But I'm saying, you know, don't just sue Apple. Go after Meta. Go after Samsung. Go after Microsoft. They're all spying on you. If it's got a microphone attached to it and it's got a corporation behind it, it is actively listening to you. Which is one of the dangerous things about doing a podcast right now. If I don't have, like, my own Faraday cage and, like, a... some kind of VPN system running right now. I mean, who knows? Like I said, I could look outside, and every time I see a black vehicle pull up in front of my house or past my house, I look out the window like, is today the day? Is it my day? Is it my turn? They finally got to my list. Gotcha. All right. This is the last episode. Bye, everybody. The dudes in the black suit start walking up with the sunglasses on. I'm like, yep, this is the last episode of the Wandering One podcast. Yeah, like I said, it's mostly high-level conspiracy shit, but it's not a conspiracy so much as it is just a lack of faith, I guess. A lack of faith in corporations and government to actively do its best for people. And the only reason I can say that is because history. Because I have eyes and I can read a newspaper, I can read a history book, you know what I mean? I have a brain that can think past, you know, what's the next thing coming down my fucking scrolling feed. You know, it bothers me that people don't at least can entertain the possibility. I'm not saying you have to believe in it, but you should at least entertain the possibility that maybe they don't give a fuck about us. And you should be kind of wary about letting them in any and everywhere you want. You know, like I said, I get the idea behind the ease and the convenience of allowing, you know, these data assistants and AI and stuff like that to scrape and pull information and to do such and such things. There may be a time and a place where that's appropriate, but people tend to not draw that line. And I was actually talking to my wife about this the other night, and she's like, you know, there are instances where AI is helpful. I'm like, sure. If you needed to just crunch some numbers, you know what I mean? Do some math or shit for you. I'm sure that if you can balance it out so it doesn't cook up some weird shit, fine. But it doesn't need to be drawing stuff. It doesn't need to be writing stories. Just in my Discord the other day, just today actually, there's a story about a guy who lost his job because his company started using AI bots to write articles for the company. So he lost his job to a computer. Earlier this week, there was a video that hit my feeds of Hayao Miyazaki, the legendary creator of Studio Ghibli, made all the beloved films that you guys are probably aware of, Howl's Moving Castle, Princess Mononoke, My Neighbor Totoro. He was approached by one of the people on his team, and they were like telling him that we're working on developing AI, using a deep learning AI, so it can learn how to paint like a human. And like, it's going to speed up our animation process. We can do more stuff in less time. And Hayao Miyazaki's just looking at them like, so y'all just don't want jobs, is what you're saying. It's like, we're working on it now. We're like slowly training the model so we can make it. He's like, why are you doing this? And I could see it in his eyes. You could see just the light go out. This is a man who built an empire off his own wild creative imagination and inspiring artists to use the furthest reaches of their minds to come up with fantastical ideas and far off lands and wonderful stories. And here these idiots are like, we can get a robot to do it. And he's like, if my thing would have been like this, if I was him, like, well, teach the robot. And when you're done teaching it, everybody's fired. Is that what you want? Because that's what you're doing. You're basically working yourself out of a job. You know what I mean? It used to mean when you say working yourself out of a job, it would be you did such a good job at doing your job that there's no more job to do, so you ain't got no work. Now it's like you're doing such a good job at making sure something else can do your job that you don't need a job. Because if you've done this job, I don't need you at all. I don't have to pay the robot. All I have to do is pay the electric bill. That's it. So, and he just, the next frame of that documentary, the video doc they did, he goes, I feel like we're at the end of the world. And I'm like, I feel you, my guy. I feel you. It's so stupid. It really just, people really just be wanting to hand this stuff over. You know what I mean? And it goes to a point where, like, you know, now, you know, your phone can talk to your dishwasher, can talk to your oven, can talk to your, you know, your television, can talk to your digital assistant, can talk to your computer, can talk to your car. At what point do you talk to each other? I can't tell you how many times we've had, like, friends, family, whatever over, and you look around the room, and it'd be in the middle of a conversation, you stop and turn and look, and just everybody's head is down, staring at the screen, blaring up at them. I don't know how many times I've been sitting there talking with somebody and just having a good conversation. I stop. I'm going to be right back. I'm going to go grab a drink or something like that. I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I walk through the room. And there's like 20 people in there. And like 15, like 12 of them are just heads down into their phones. You all drove here to see each other. What the fuck are you doing looking at your phone? Like, you're not going to get the same kind of stimulation that you're going to get from another individual as you are from your phone. If that's the case, stay home. Stay home. Save your gas. You know what I mean? And also, don't come to where I'm at to not interact with me. That shit drives me crazy, bro. It feels mad disrespectful. It's as disrespectful in my mind as coming over to somebody's house and being stank. You know what I mean? Like, you came over here and you're not even gonna give me the courtesy to interact with me like a human being. You won't even take, like, if you wouldn't take a bath to come over here and then you're gonna sit here and be on your phone, that's a twofer. That's a two strikes right there. Like, one or the other, but absolutely not both. That shit's just wild to me. It's crazy that we put so much stock in technology. And I understand, like, we're doing a technology thing right now, right? But this is a way for me to interact with you. That's why I say, right into the podcast, when these kind of questions and stuff like that come in, this is the kind of stuff I love to talk about with the guest. I would plan for a guest so we could have this conversation with your questions. Your comments. So again, hit the patreon.com/wandering1studios. Let me know what you think about this. And that too. And there's another thing that's hit me up lately. And it's the people who just got to have something to say about everything. But it's not like having an opinion is one thing, but you always got to be on somebody's ass about something. Like, it's one thing to have an opinion. It's another thing to be like, hey, I want to open discourse so I could talk shit out. Maybe, like, kind of like how I'm spitballing stuff and ideas right here. But somebody who's just always got to be negative or have to always correct you. And they always have to be like, oh, just actually, that kind of vibe, that actually, it's and you know what, man, go fuck yourself, dude. I hate that shit. It's like a busybody ass mentality. It's like, you couldn't just leave shit alone. Something can't just be a joke. At one point, I said something about, like, I found a meme or something that was, like, talking about how people name medications and how they always have these bizarre-ass names like Ozempic or Levitra. And so it looks like they just took a bunch of, like, those magnetic letters and threw them at a refrigerator. And someone's like, actually, what they do is they take a couple of the chemical components. And I'm like, I don't care. Oh, my God, I don't give a fuck. Why? Why do you suck the joy out of everything? And you always got one person in the group like that, right? That's like, no matter what's being said or no matter what's being done, they got to come in and weigh in and tell everybody why they're wrong and this person is right. You know what I mean? Like, man, fuck you, dude. That's why nobody likes you. That's why nobody talks to you. Nobody hang out with you. Nobody be like, hey, man, come on, kick it with me. Nobody wants to deal with your ass like that. And that's why you be all by yourself. I also hate a busybody ass person that just, like, you're doing something and they talk to you like you're stupid. Like, that sets me the fuck off. Like, I'm not the brightest person in the world, but I am by no means a dolt. You know what I mean? But when somebody talks down to you like you're a child, you know what I mean? Or just kind of impugns your intelligence by constantly having to act like they know more about you than anything. Bro, that shit irritates the fuck out of me. I know I don't know everything. You know what I mean? And that's the only thing that I genuinely know, is that I don't know everything. But neither do you. And like just a small touch of humility in being like, I don't know everything. Or even approaching it from like a nice kind of like, maybe it could be this too kind of, you know, point of view. But not just this like declarative, like, well, if you do this thing, who the fuck? Yeah, that makes me so, it makes my eye twitch. Like, my eye actually started twitching right now just thinking about it. You know, when somebody comes in and has to fucking always have to one-up you or show you up or whatever, or talk over you like you're stupid. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? You might be king shit of fuck mountain at whatever it is you do, but that doesn't mean it's the time and a place to do that shit right here. You know what I mean? Like, anybody asks for all that shit. You just don't have to, and then anytime you mention something or bring something up, they always have to be negative about it. Like, they have to cut you down, act like you're wrong, or you don't know what's going on, or try to gaslight you. You know, like I said earlier, it's like, you know, hey man, just because you like that thing doesn't mean that, you know, that's got to be the only thing. You're the only one that can be right. You know, I don't understand what it is about that person, like the type of person that just has to always be a negative. It's crazy. Like, I get the being frustrated idea. And there's some cool ass stuff out there in the world to be happy about. But it's just like, and there's also stuff to be upset about too. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm not going to sit here and say something's negative if I think it's negative. Of course, I'm not going to gaslight y'all. But at the same time, I'm like, not the whole world is an end-to-end, wall-to-wall shit, you know? Anyway, yeah, it's just that kind of shit bothers me. You know, I used to know this dude who would always say something like kind of fucked up to you, kind of negative. Like, he would have like a quick comeback or some kind of like dig at you and then be like, I'm just kidding. Huh? I'm like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And the next time you say some shit like that, I'm gonna have to box you. Stop popping off at the side of your face with some negative shit. If you want to say something, say something. Don't come at me and try to front like I didn't hear what I just heard. Like, I know you don't think shit about this, but that's okay. You don't have to. But don't fucking try to play it off like, I'm just making a joke. No, you meant that shit. You meant to say it. But you want to get your ass beat, so that's why you're fucking pass it off as a joke. That's not joking. That's just you being an asshole. Anyway, that shit made me even crazy. You know what? Let's switch gears. We're going to do some gaming shit before it's time to go, because I'm getting ready to do some strams. I'm looking forward to playing some more Marvel Rivals today. Maybe today will actually be the day that I go and do the Final Fantasy thing. But let's talk some shit about games. Destiny 2 is releasing Revenant Act 3. That came out yesterday. Okay. Here's the funky thing about it. There's a whole Act 1 and Act 2 I haven't even finished yet. And as we talked about last episode, Destiny's player numbers have dropped precipitously over the last couple of months in particular, but they're hitting all-time lows to the point where it's like, man, at their peak, they were not even this far back, you know? And now here we are looking into 2025, and they're getting their shit kicked in by Marvel Rivals. And rightfully so, because Marvel Rivals is a very well-done game. It's very fun. It's not a unique premise by any means. You know, I mean, the hero shooter is not new to anybody, especially not in third-person mode. Have you seen Fortnite? Have you seen PUBG? That genre of shooter has been around for a while. It just hasn't been done quite this way. And with such an interesting cast of characters like you can get from Marvel, I mean, it's not a unique formula, but it's a unique approach. And like I mentioned before, I think the way that every character feels to play just a little bit differently than the next gives you a little bit of opportunity for you to work through skill issues and find somebody that kind of suits the play style that you're used to. but it has like the kind of impact on the gameplay that you want. Do you feel me? You may not be able to play as your favorite character right away, but if you learn how to play as another character, you could be like, okay, I understand now. Now I can get why this person's so cool at this. This is why this one does that. And as you start to learn the various mechanics of other characters, it gets better. So that's, you know, that's one thing that's missing from Bungie. And I think that the novelty is worn off. Not to mention the fact that Bungie don't seem to give a fuck about players at all. Like, they seem to care less and less as days go by about the game itself, and especially about the player base. They could give a fuck what we want. Which is unfortunate, you know, because we're the ones who made them rich. But what can you do, you know? Corporations, am I right? But yeah, speaking of Marvel Rivals, they recently just dropped their new Dev Vision Volume 3 on YouTube. And I gotta say, I'd never really heard much from the Marvel Rivals creative or design teams, or the project managers and whatnot. And then I listened to this video, and I think he's like the chief project designer or whatever. His name's Guang Guang. And his other compatriot, I think it's the design lead, Ji Young. They come on to YouTube, right, to do these developer videos. And the first thing I noticed is that they're both speaking English, which is unusual because this game is from NetEase, which is a Chinese developer, if I remember correctly. So English is not their native language, but they do realize that they're launching to a very large constituency of English-speaking players. So in an effort to try to further ingratiate players to the game and to the idea that they are working hard to make Marvel Rivals the best they can, they're like, you know, it's a small thing for the gamers, but if they heard us speak English, they would probably change a little bit more their perception towards leaning towards us and being a little bit more patient with us. And boy, did it work. I went to look at the comments on that video, and like almost, it was like every other comment seemed to be looking forward to the game, looks great. Also, the effort you guys put into speaking English to us is not, it's not lost on us. You know, the fact that you made an effort to try to make us feel more welcome, even though we're coming to your world and your game, it's not, we're not blind, I guess. We're not blind to the fact that that takes work. It's not hard. It's not easy to do that, especially if it's not your native language. So you have to train to learn how to speak this language, and then you have to do it on video. And God knows how many takes it took for you to get it done, but you made the effort. And then they just keep hitting. They keep hitting. Like, it's to the point right now, like, if I had the extra money to spend on the premium battle pass, I would have probably done it already. Just because I just feel like it's worth it to see how much love and care and attention they're putting into the game. If you haven't had a chance, go look up the Marvel Rivals YouTube channel. Lots of great information about the future efforts that are being made to the game. In terms of balance, in terms of story, maps, characters, the Fantastic Four are making their way into the game starting this weekend with Reed and Sue Richards, so Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman, are making their first appearance in a Marvel game in a little while, and definitely their first one in Marvel Rivals, and they look to be pretty broken and unusual, but also pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm seriously considering it, man. I tell you, if I had the money, I would buy the premium battle pass right now. And I hate battle passes, and I hate that kind of like monetization, but I know that it's necessary. And if it's a good game and it's solid, I don't have a problem with it really. But NetEase seems to be doing it right. From everything I can see, they're hitting all the right markers, they're making all the right moves, and I'm looking forward to supporting the game in the future. And let me know what you think about the game, too, if you had a chance to play it. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. And lastly, before we take off, we have some really good news. This is actually a really great feel-good story. We hear a lot about, and you'll hear from me at least, a lot about video game companies that screw over their players, fuck over their staff, like Bungie and Activision Blizzard, EA, Ubisoft. The list goes on and on and on. It's unfortunate, but that's the case. However, Shift Up, a developer from Korea, has made this game for the PlayStation 5 called Stellar Blade. Now, I've not had the opportunity to play it because I don't own a PlayStation myself, However, I've seen some gameplay footage and it looks really cool. But they have been really excited about the way that the game has been selling. So Shift Up achieved South Korea's largest initial public offering for a video game company in 3 years by raising 435 billion won, or $320 American, on the first day of trading. So they plan to use the IPO proceeds to diversify their game portfolios. And it's not a brand, it's not a brand new company. It's been around since 2013. But because of the amazing reception and response and sales for Stellar Blade, they gifted all of their employees a PlayStation 5 Pro and gave them an end-of-the-year bonus, which is 5 million won. So about $3,400 US. That's not a bonus to sneeze at, you know what I mean? Especially not in the video game economy, or any economy, actually. But in the video game industry, in the economy that surrounds it, like $3,400, pretty decent bonus. And they said that the bonuses were intended to encourage the talent that's currently at the company. Like, hey, great job. You guys are crushing it. You know, you get for their New Year's event, they're like, oh, we had our Shift Up New Year's event today. This is from their Stellar Blade official X account, Twitter account. Everyone got a PS5 Pro, so you can enjoy Stellar Blade in 4K, right? Oh, and there's a little glimpse of Lily and Eve. So they had like a whole event where they gave these the bonuses and the PlayStations away. Good guy, Shift Up. I mean, you know what? That's the kind of thing you want to see. Going into a new year, watching a company incentivize the creativity and the hard work of the people around them, like I mentioned earlier. Hey, you do right by us, we'll do right by you, kind of thing. It's interesting how that seems to work out, doesn't it? I wonder if that's a novel approach or if it's something that's kind of built into the human psyche that we could use to increase profits and maybe, I don't know, even incentivize decent human behavior. If you be good, it be worth dollars. I don't know. But anyway, good job to Stellar Blade and the whole crew over there at Shift Up. Congratulations on the success, and may there be many more happy returns for you in the future. I have not played the game, obviously, but I know that you deserve it. I know that you deserve it. You know how I know? Because your company decided you deserved it. And if a company's willing to come up off some bucks and stuff like that, that you're doing something. So congratulations to all of them. And that's our happy closer for this episode. Again, if you like the podcast, please feel free to rate and comment on it, share it with a friend, and then go to the Patreon. I would love to have some questions. Like I said, I would love to have some questions to read on air so that if we were able to ever get a guest of the level of shit, even my next door neighbor, but if we got somebody like Brian Simpson to come on the pod, oh my God, I don't want him to just sit here and listen to me talk. I'd like to hear some feedback from you guys. So go to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Write in and say, hey, we would like Brian to show up on the show. Like, that would be awesome. You'd seem like, hey, man, I don't have a lot of listeners, but they all are like, yeah, come on. Let's work it out, you know? I would love to have him listen to this episode and be like, yeah, you know what? The homie, if he's down to do it, I'm down to try to make it work, you know? It'd be good to have another perspective on here in the first place. And who knows, maybe it could become a regular thing where I could at least occasionally have a guest on here to read some of your questions. So go to the Patreon, send me some questions, send me some comments, ask Brian Simpson to show up, maybe you have another guest that you know would like to be on the podcast, you know? Doesn't have to be a celebrity, doesn't have to be a famous person. It could be somebody you think would be of interest to me. Just let me know what you think. And I'm going to get out of here because it's getting close to time for me to start my stream, and I got some stuff to do and some shit to talk, and hopefully I'll catch you guys over there on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib. Podcasting here once a week, streaming on Twitch about 4 days a week, depending on how life and everything happens. But I'm Link Flores. You guys have been amazing, and I'll see you guys a little further down the road. Peace.